Good. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on the new. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took all your things and put on the new.
Thank you, Lord.
I gave you the best thing I ever did.
Hallelujah.
I took all your things and put on the new. Two cups before me, the old and the new. I do. The old coat left me so I never did come. The new coat left me never been worn. I tell you the best thing I ever did do. I took off the old coat and put on.
Glory to God.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Brother Dave, come on, preach to us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Jesus.
Mike, there,
you. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Have your way, Lord. Glory to God.
Sing a lot.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your sweet name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Your order is so good. Wonderful Savior. Thank you, Father. Lord. Glory to God, Lord. Thank you for your salvation, Lord. Thank you for all things. Praise your name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your sweet name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Have your way. Have your way in our service, Lord. Thank
glory.
You. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help, Lord. We're here to give glory to you. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was intending to preach tonight out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I believe I'll begin in the 7th verse, Philippians 3:7. And Paul was explaining what he had being a Jew, being circumcised the 8th day of the flock of Israel, back in verse 5 here, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, that new garment, you know, we're talking and singing about. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, what a wonderful thing. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended of Christ. He wants to to make sure he can grab a hold. That's what apprehend means, to grab a hold, grab a fast hold. You know, they say the police apprehended the criminal. That means they got him. You know, they captured him and held on to him. But Paul wants to apprehend that salvation, that eternal life that Jesus offered him, you know, on the road to Damascus. And he was apprehended of Christ for that purpose. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body." Praise the Lord. Glory to God. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, praise the Lord. I come up here, and this usually makes me nervous if I'm going to be preaching, but the Lord has a way, you know. When I come up here, I had my mind was a blank slate, you know, pretty much. You know, a blank slate. I wondered, sometimes when that happens, that means that the Lord's going to take over the service. You know, or I've had that happen before, and someone else will get up and preach and take over. You know, but I'm just going to go with what the Lord had me to do. I have the scripture here, you know, in the Philippians, and it reminds me of a dream that I had a while back. It's been a long while back now. But I was recovering, I think, from my four-way bypass, and I was dreaming, and I was in a place that was kind of medium dark, not completely dark. I could see a few things, and there was some light off to one side, but I heard voices, and one voice was saying, "What about Alan Newcomb, you know, Brother Alan Newcomb?" And the other voice said, "Oh, don't worry about him. He's with me." And it was talking about people that had died. You know, it was people that I knew in the church that had died. I think Billy had passed away. You know, he might have been on that list. But the exact list of the names that I heard, it was taken from me, what I had a dream about. And I was fascinated by that voice. So I turned, and I decided to go toward that voice where it was. It was in the light. And I went and walked, and there were other names, maybe even Geneva. I think Geneva was still alive when I had the four-way, though, so it probably wasn't her. But there were other names given. What about this one, and what about that one? And everyone that was mentioned, he said, don't worry about it. They're with me. I've got them. They're safe. They're with me." And I thought, well, who could be answering that question? You know, who would know those answers? I thought it had to be the Lord. And sure enough, I walked to where that sound was, and I could see the Lord standing there. And to my surprise, I was standing there. I was asking him the question. I didn't even recognize my own voice. You know, but I circled around where I was, and I came up behind myself, if you can believe it, in the dream, and stepped inside myself, and there I was, toe-to-toe with the Lord. And I gave him a few more names, you know, that I had known of people that passed on, you know, people that went, left, you know. And he said, "Don't worry about them, they're with me." And he was there to comfort me, because it had to be that Geneva had died, because that's why he was there. Geneva had passed away. He probably assured me then that she was with him, not to worry. And Because when I was done, he answered the questions. It was like rapid fire, you know. What about this one? They're with me. I've got them. Don't worry about them. You know, they're saved. You know, they're with me. And it was just one question after another, rapid fire, rapid fire. And then he signaled to me, I don't know if I can do it with the microphone, but he did like this. Come here. You know, come here. I was close to him there. He signaled for me to come. And he wanted to hug me. You know, he knew I needed that, you know. And I believe it. That's why I believe that Genevieve had passed away recently when I had that dream. And I was there hugging him. And I mentioned this before. My chin was on his right shoulder. And I looked over and saw his ear right there. And later on, I realized that I saw his ear out of what would be my bad eye. This is my right eye. I saw his ear plain as day, you know, from my bad eye. You know, that's 2400 on this side, but 20/20 on this side with the glasses, you know. And later on, I realized that I saw him with my bad eye was healed. There was no difference. I was seeing perfect, you know. But praise God, I was right there, and I thought to myself, there's his ear. There's his ear. If you've got any question to ask him, you better ask him now. And I said, Lord, and I started even to cry, like I'm kind of showing emotion in my voice now, but that's the way it was. I said, what about me? What about me? Will I make it, Lord? You know, am I going to make it into that heavenly kingdom? You know, and I expected a rapid-fire answer, you know, but little did I know, his lips fell silent. You know, his lips fell silent at that time, and he wouldn't give me an answer. And I remember I was on his shoulder, and I leaned back like that so I could see his face, and there was no anger at all in his face. It wasn't angry with me or anything like that. I said, well, Lord, why won't you tell me? And rather than explain why he didn't tell me, he just gave me a little extra hug when we were hugging, and he just gave me a little extra squeeze, let me know that it's time to let go. But when he did that, he dropped that answer into my heart. He dropped the answer why he wouldn't tell me. I said, oh, I know why, Lord. I know why. If you told me I wasn't going to make it, that would take all the wind out of my sails, you know. If you told me I wasn't going to make it into heaven, that would be terrible, terrible news, you know. It would just tear me up. But if you told me I was going to make it, I'd slack right off, wouldn't I? I'd slack, sure enough, would slack off. You know, I would think, well, the Lord said I'm going to make it. It don't matter. You want a drink? It don't matter. The Lord said I'm going to make it. You know, it would set me up for another failure. You know, I was trying to use the Lord for a fortune teller. He's not a fortune teller. You know, and Paul here, we've read the scripture. He says, neither do I count that I have already perfect. He said, he says, I haven't already attained. He didn't know. Paul, St. Paul didn't know. He said, at one place he said, I judge not my own self. You know, and I think that's what he's getting into here. He says, though I have already attained, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, in 12, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I was apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ. Forget those things we're behind, you know. I was asking him to judge me. Also, there's other scriptures. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I was asking him to judge me while I was yet alive. You know, that wasn't right, you know. I realized that. He put that answer in my heart, just dropped it right in there. You know, it's wonderful the way he does things. It's all the things of God. He knows our heart. He did that on purpose. You know, he knew I was going to ask him, you know, about that. After he had rapid-fired all the other answers off, you know, those that had passed on, and said, yeah, they're with me. I've got them. They're safe, you know. And with me, his lips fell silent. You know, it's up to me. It's up to me. Every morning, I have to look myself in the mirror and say, what about it, Mr. Moran? You know, are you going to make it today? And I have to say that he's the only one that I'm after to be saved. He's the one. I realize he's the only way. He's the only one. The only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. I've got to have him. I've got to serve him. I want to do what pleases him. I tell him all the time, Lord, help me. Help me to do that pleases you, you know. And I press toward that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a mark we have to set ourselves. It's set also to make our calling election sure and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. We do have to work that out. You know, it's a day-by-day thing. It's an everyday thing. We come to him, and there's been times when I don't feel like praying, you know. There's times I might feel a little down or something like that, and I feel like maybe I should wait till later. And when I get that feeling, I'll pray a little prayer. Lord, help me to pray, you know, and I'll pray for prayer. That's one thing I've learned to do, you know, over the years. When I get the doldrums, when things disappoint me and come against me, I pray for prayer. When the Bible talks about the season of refreshing from the Lord, and that's, I've always seen that to come. You know, you go through a dry spell, but God has got a season of refreshing for us. You know, I believe he does. All we have to do is ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. And we go to him with our troubles and our trials and keep on believing, and he'll work it out for us. Also, I was going to look in the next chapter of Philippians. I actually got it all printed out here. Praise the Lord. It was Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, your moderation, that is not taking extremes, you know, not going to extremes, you know, one way or the other. But we should walk evenly and steadily, you know, in this faith. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. If there's ever a day when the Lord is at hand, it surely is today. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, we come to him, you know, and let our requests be made known with thanksgiving and prayer and supplication. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard in me and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If he would pattern our life after the life of Paul and what he did, he said, I can do all things through Christ. But he was talking about suffering loss and abounding. You know, he would abound at times, and at times he would have need, you know, but he learned to do all things through Christ, you know. Praise God. And I've learned that he is faithful, you know, in my some 45 years of being saved now from 1977. He's never failed me one time. Never has. And there's been storms in my life. Like I said, Geneva, my wife, passed away. And I've gone through troubles. I like to sing that song. I stood by a casket and said sad goodbyes. Seen people suffer and I heard people cry. But there is a promise in heaven one day that all of these former things shall pass away. You know, praise God. One day, you know, one day all these things are going to be gone. The Lord told me one time there's not going to be any electronics in heaven. You know, I was glad of that. I was thinking about getting a computer, and I have a computer, but the one I was looking at is where you learn programming. You learn to program the thing and all that. And I was going to get into that because that's the kind of job that the Lord had gotten me. But he said, I don't want you to get it. Don't get that computer. He said, there's not going to be any electronics in heaven, you know. And I think if I had done that, if I had gotten all mixed up in computer language, I'd hardly be able to talk, you know, to English. You know, I'd lose my ability. It was way before I was married or anything when the Lord told me that. But I thank God for it. He's blessed me on my job in computers. He's shown me things, done many things. I remember the first day on the job, my boss was working on a computer graphic piece of equipment. It was $250,000 worth of equipment there, and they were trying to get it to work. And I was there, and he had an oscilloscope, if you know what that is, an instrument for checking voltages and signals. And he was there, and he had about three or four other people gathered around. And I come up behind the machine. It was about as big as the pulpit is, you know, the console. And then there was a big round tube on top of that, a big round flat like a radar tube. And I was standing there, and it was a wire. I could see a wire on a clip lead. And I heard the Lord tell me, take that clip lead off of there, you know, take that off. I said, no, I couldn't do that. My first day on the job, I'm going to start messing with wires. I had no idea what that clip lead was. You know, I had no idea what it was at all. You know, is that a wire? He told me to take it off. And I refused to do it. I thought it was the Lord. I thought, well, maybe it's not the Lord, you know, telling me to take that clip lead off. Maybe he's trying to get me fired on the first day of my job. And so he said, well, then take a better look. Take a closer look at what they're doing. And they were working on this side of the machine, if you can imagine. The pulpit is a machine. But I took a closer look to see what they were doing, what they were looking at, the signal. And when I did that, my hand hit that clip lead and knocked it off. And the boss said, what'd you do? And I said, oh no, here it goes, you know. And I said, I took this clip lead off, you know, I took that off. He said, it's working now. And the machine had been down, and they put that clip lead to cancel one of the signals that would interfere with their test. And they forgot they had done that, and they forgot that lead was there. And by taking it off, the thing started running, and it was just a few minutes. That machine was up and running, and they could do the design on it, whatever they want to do. I had no clue, but I know the Lord knew, you know, and it's just wonderful. You know, that's just one sample of how He's blessed me. Like through thick and thin, that was a pleasant thing. I've gone through unpleasant things with the Lord too, but He's always been there, you know, to share my sorrows, to lift me up, to give me that hug that I needed. You know, it was a dream. But all those things, you know, it's one thing after another. Like I say, for these 45 years since 1977, He's never failed me, never one time. You know, praise God. He's so good, you know, and we can follow Him, you know, and work every day, press every day toward that mark. You know, you make a mistake, Paul says, forget the past. Just forget that past. You know, ask for forgiveness, of course, but forget that past and press toward that high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe we can have a time of prayer altar here. Glory to God.